Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today on This Needs to Be Said. Our friend, Attorney Peter Daigle, is here with us, and we're going to talk about probate. And I was telling Peter that this is a topic that I thought only celebrities were affected by, and it's not. Welcome back, Peter. How are you?
Hey, Catherine. Nice to hear your voice, and thank you, as always, for inviting me on your program.
I always look forward to speaking with you because I know I'm going to learn something new spending time with you. So probate, like I was sharing with you before we began today, is something I thought that celebrities have. Like, I'm a Prince fan, and his family just got his estate settled like a couple of weeks ago. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, if I pass away, I won't have 17 point something million for my family to, you know, spend 5 years trying to figure out who gets what. But for those of us who aren't making 17.4 million or have that money left over, what do we have to be concerned about? Because it's not just for celebrities, right?
No, everybody's going to die, right?
Right.
It's not if, it's when, right? So you know, when somebody passes away in your family, and let's look at some the unexpected ones, okay? All of a sudden, you know, someone's of health, and they either get a car accident, or they get cancer, or they get something, and maybe they die before their time. So they didn't have a chance to draft a will and do all kinds of estate planning, okay? So let's talk about that for a moment. So let's say, you know, hypothetically, somebody in your family or somebody very close to you passes away suddenly. What happens to their car? What happens to their debt? What happens to money that they have in the bank? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you're close to that person, then, you know, you even might want to be given a hand settling all those affairs, or you might be able to benefit somehow in assets that they have. Okay. So let's assume for a moment that the person that passed away did not have a will. Okay. Which happens a lot in some of the younger people. They just never get around to it.
Yeah.
So if a young person dies, okay, what happens to their car or their house, the money in the bank, the jewelry and all that? So in all states, what they call the laws of intestacy. Intestacy means you die without a will. So you might have seen that before. So when you die without a will, what happens is that who inherits your estate goes something like this. If you have children, your children would benefit by what you have left. If you have mother and father that's still alive and no children, then your mother or father would benefit. And if your mother and father are not alive and you have no children, then it would go to your brothers and sisters. Okay, so it goes sideways.
Okay.
Now, if you have a spouse, every state is different. But generally, they're around. The spouse gets about half of the estate if there's no will. So the estate gets half, the spouse gets half, and then if there's children, the children get the other half. No children, the parents get the other half. Okay. So, but every law is different. Sometimes the husband gets up to everything if it's less than $100,000 or whatever. I'm not going to quote different states, but essentially speaking, that the husband would then share some or all of the money with the surviving blood relatives, all right? So if the person who died doesn't really have a lot of assets, like let's say they have just a car, you know, a few dollars in the bank, you know, a bicycle and some, you know, a computer and things like that, obviously the Registry of Motor Vehicles has a name on the car title for someone that's passed away. So how do you get that car out of their name? Or if there's a bank account that they have, how do you get that bank account changed so that it goes to the person who inherits? Okay? Now, in every state is different, but most states have a minimum amount for which you can open up basically a simple or administrative probate, which is a page or two that you would go over to your local family and probate court, and you fill it in. And in Massachusetts, for example, it's less than $25,000. So if all you have left is a car, a used car, a computer, some clothes, and some basic things, you know, whoever the person would be, that would be either the children, the husband, the parents, the brothers and sisters, whoever would be the person to take on it, could go over to the court, fill out a one-page form, and the court will sign off on it, and that will allow you to go to the registry to get the car title changed. It will allow you to get money from the bank account, and then, you know, settle it, whatever bills that are owed. Now, if the amount of the estate is more than that, let's say they had a house, or let's say they had a brand new beautiful car with a value worth more than $25,000, then a simple two-page probate, administrative probate, is not going to be enough. Okay? So then you really either have to hire an attorney, which is the best bet, or you have to open up a probate or an estate on the person who's deceased, and then it has to go through the court in order to be decided. But it's decided in the same way. Children get first, then parents, then brothers and sisters. If it's a husband, they get half. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of basically what you would do. So if someone passes away to you, the first thing you do is size up the size of the asset and look at the rule in the state or consult with an attorney. And then that would determine whether or not you need to open up a full probate or whether or not you can just go over to court. In Massachusetts, the fee is $90. You go over there, you pay $90, you walk out with a form, and then you can get the car and the money in your name. Okay? So how does that sound?
How long would you say the whole process could take?
Well, when you go to the probate court, all you need is an original death certificate, and you can fill out the form. The clerk will help you fill out the form, and you can walk out with the certificate of appointment, and you go right over. You can go right drive over to the Bank of America and withdraw the money.
Account.
Or you can go right to the registry of motor vehicles and get the car switched. So you can do it fairly quickly.
Well, what makes it complicated then? So the probate court, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is probate the area where you live when your loved one who passed away didn't leave a will?
Well, both wills or without a will, but I just gave you one example, someone who dies without a will. Okay? But let me just give you a few points of number. Each state has a minimum threshold that you open it has to open up a full probate. If the value of the probate in Massachusetts is over $25,000, you have to advertise, you have to get appointed, you have to go through this whole legal process, dispose of the assets, file a report. If it's less than $25,000, you don't have to do any of that. You just go over, bring the death certificate, fill out a form, and walk out with the appointment. And then you just go ahead and dispose of the assets. Okay, that is whether or not you have a will or not a will, as long as it's below that, again, the $25,000. Now, but probate is for people who die. If you die with a will, then whoever your personal representative is or executrix just follows the rules of the will through the supervision of the court, okay? If there's a will. But if there's no will, I've told you who gets what. Now, if they have an estate that's worth more than $25,000 and there's no will, again, you should really hire an attorney to help you draft documents because it has to be advertised and you have to get appointed and there's an accounting involved. It's somewhat of a process, and you really should have the assistance of an attorney for that. Okay?
Mm-hmm. I wonder why probate is seems so like out of people's reach. Is it something that's fairly common or not?
Well, again, everybody dies. Oh,
right.
It's a matter of time before it's dealt with. Okay.
Some people die penniless.
Some people die penniless, if nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have only lived off their Social Security check, and they rent, and there's really nothing left.
Nothing to split up.
So this
would be a tough conversation before your loved one passes away. I remember when my dad was not doing well, and I was talking with him, and I just may have not been asking the right questions because I didn't get any answers, but I wanted to know, did he have life insurance? And I don't know if I came across as too eager for him to die, but I was trying to see what do you have for us to work with if you do pass away, because I didn't know about a will or life insurance policy or any savings. Like, I didn't handle my dad's affairs. I didn't come into his life until he was really sick and our family thought that he was not going to do well. And if he went to the hospital and stopped breathing, he put a do not resuscitate order on himself, however paperwork needs to be filled out. So that made me feel the urgency of, hey, while you still have your eyes open, what do you want done? And he didn't give me any answers. So I'm asking you, what are some questions that people can ask loved ones? An unexpected death, I get we may not be able to catch that, but for us, we know that someone, we're all going to die. So if we could all die in proper order, in my head would be, you know, the older people go before the younger people. How does the younger person have the conversation with the older person to see what they have for the sake of, hey, when you pass away, I want your wishes to be honored?
It's basically, honestly, selfish of a person who's going to pass away not to set forth their affairs, because you're leaving the person, your family, a mess. Okay, they're already grieving, you know, because they've lost you. Now they've got to, you know, clean up a mess of bills and properties and stuff. And so, you know, you really want to be hopeful that most people are responsible. So you could approach it with, listen, you know what, this is going to be a problem for me, meaning the son or daughter or husband or wife, when you go, because I'm going to have to clean this up. Maybe that's not the right word, but settle your affairs. And it would make it so much easier if we could just put your wishes down on paper and have it done properly. I'd like to, you know, say I'd like to make an appointment with an attorney and have this done. And and a lot of people just put it off. That's what happens. But I think you have to just put it with the sense that you're going to be leaving the, your survivors with, you know, something they have to deal with when they're grieving your loss. And that's kind of not too cool, you know? Okay?
Yeah.
And you can phrase it in however way which you like to phrase it, you know.
But I think it's just a tough conversation to have, and finding the words that your loved one would understand in the category of, hey, I want to put your wishes down on paper, make it known what you want to have happen. You know, if you outlive this piece of paper, fine. And maybe not waiting until they're sick to have the conversation. Have a conversation maybe at a family reunion, or me and my mom used to have a once-a-year conversation, so I would know where her life insurance policy was, and she would know where mine was. And the kids thought that is so morbid, but I want you to be comfortable having this conversation. I don't want something to happen and you don't know what to do, because when my dad passed, I'd never buried anyone. I don't know what needs to happen, and no one was really stepping up to do it, but they were telling me everything I didn't do right. So I just really want people to look at what are the opportunities to pass away and leave less stress for those who have to figure it out. And I know that we don't want someone to control us or our affairs. I get that. But if we could find a way to do it in partnership, that I want to make sure that your wishes are on paper, that everyone, my siblings, they also know what you want. And that doesn't mean people are going to argue or think something should go differently, but let's start somewhere, so that we have some idea, and talk about what probate is. You know, talk about that this is, you know, what we do in the event that there is no written will. Because what it sounds like you're saying to me is, like, if North Carolina is the same way as Massachusetts and the threshold is $25,000 or below, or under $25,000, you don't have to have a will, then, you know, that's something people need to know, just in case someone has put it off and they haven't done a will for whatever reason. My dad was in the military, honorable discharge from the military, and if I didn't know that about my dad, I wouldn't have been able to get, you know, him buried at a veteran's cemetery. And because he didn't tell me stuff, this is what I figured out, and fortunately, I had a way to get him buried, because otherwise, I was left not knowing what was there to have for him. So I just want other people to know, Peter, that's what I really want them to know, what their options are and what conversations they need to be having. So I'm wondering, is there anything else that we need to add before we wrap up the probate conversation for today?
I think we did a pretty good job. I think we covered it.
We always do a pretty good job, don't we? We're a
Did a
great
good
team. All
job. I think we covered it.
right. Well, then tell people how to get in
All
touch with
right.
you outside. Tell people how to get in touch with you outside
Sure.
of this
Yep.
needs to be said.
So at Daigle Law Office, DAIGLE, lawoffice.com, or at 508-771-7444. You can reach me either at the website or the phone, and I'm happy to schedule a phone call, and we can follow up more on the discussion we had today or any other legal matters that you have. I'd love to talk to you.
Fantastic, Peter. As always, I've enjoyed talking with you. Have a super day until our next time.
Okay, Catherine. You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye.